Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The battle is one step from being over. Two massive armies have met on this day, and two massive armies have been wiped out. Bodies litter the battlefield, along with the wreckage of both fleets of vehicles. The sun is about to set, and the shadows of dusk loom over what was once an epic struggle. Two shadows remain, however, as the leaders of each respective side have still refused to die. On one side, the Mad Titan Thanos, showing no effects of the fighting that just occurred, sneers at his remaining challenge for conquest, his mind racing with the endless possibilities ahead. On the other, the Lord of Apocalypse Darkseid, also unscathed, stands tall and expressionless, not wanting to give his opponent the slightest advantage. There are two combatants left on this side of the universe. Time to make it just one. It's the Eternal Deviant versus the Dark God. It's Infinity versus Omega. It's Thanos versus Darkseid. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comic books, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, we're joined by the one, the only, the amazing co-host, Ray Stikanis. Ray, it is time. I'm so excited for this. It's time for the main event for Showdown September. By the way, it's also a redemption match for one of our combatants. In one corner, you've got everyone's favorite galactic supervillain from the Marvel Universe. Of course, I'm talking about Thanos versus the villain from DC Comics that gives Superman nightmares, and that's Darkseid. Now, there's no need to look this up and see if people are talking about. People have been talking about this matchup for decades, and this is why it has to get the Who Would Win treatment. Look, there's people who reenact this battle. There's people who say, well, what about this? No one does it the way we do. Bringing a celebrity judge, having Ray Stikanis and I absolutely argue the heck out of this thing until we get an absolute answer. With all that being said, Ray, I gotta know, what do you think about today's matchup?
I'm fired up for this matchup. This was on the table for September Showdown matchups last season in season two. And we sort of made a group decision. We're doing Goku versus Superman. There's no reason to push it so hard and do Darkseid versus Thanos now. We're going to save it for the finale of season 3. And I am here for it because, as you said, we did Thanos versus Goku as an early, early season 1 match, maybe one of the most deplorably terrible decisions in the history of this show, as James Gavsey cheated his rear end off and absolutely brought the Dragon Balls into it like that's the thing Goku brings to battle with him. Anyway, Thanos is redemption match time. I'm here for it. I belong with redemption, both for Thanos and myself. I'm ready for today.
If I recall correctly, the Dragon Balls were not brought into the equation until you brought the Infinity Stones into the matchup as well. So you're right. You did lose. It was very close. It was highly contested.
Very much so.
Very, very controversial. And that's why we got to do this matchup today. Again, possibly the biggest episode of Who Would Win we've ever done. Now, with that being said, as always, you know, every week we seem to have some news. And absolutely, again, it happened. We've got some crazy
news. Almost like
now,
we're busy or something, James.
I know. Well, things are happening. That's what happens when you have a great show. So, as you know, we've been trying to come up with a name for our audience, our amazing audience of devoted fans. There's thousands, possibly millions, maybe even billions of them. Who knows, really? And we've been throwing around all these different types of names. You came up with some names. I came up with some great names. And our fan base has been coming up with some insanely great stuff. So one person got tired of all of this talk and needed a decision to be made. That's Matthew Dawson. By the way, Matthew is the creator of all of those great fight trailers for Who Would Win. So whenever you see a great fight video, you know, that 1 minute video that shows two people going at it, you know, hyping up the match, that's thanks to the genius of Matthew Dawson. So a little while ago, he goes on Twitter and he's like, I'm tired of this. I need to know who we're going to be called or what we're going to be called. So he put up a poll or a vote, right? Where he said, hey, here are four things. Let's see what people say. Ray, I don't know if you're going to be able to guess this, but why not guess which name out of all the multitude of names of our audience, guess which one stuck?
Well, I'm very disappointed because he put Who Would Winners on that poll. And literally the whole point of finding a new name is so that we would no longer be called Who Would Winners. So this poll is already very suspect in my mind. And I know what you're going to say, James, so just go ahead and say it.
That's right, Ray. I agree. This was an excellent poll. So drum roll, please. Introducing for the first time ever, the official name of the Who Would Win fan base. The Legion of Audience.
It's the worst name in history. How did we possibly get here? I say this many elections that I've been to. How did we get to this point where these two are the best that we have up to offer? I'll say it again. How did we not come up with a better name than Legion of Audience?
That's right, Ray. Through a completely legit vote, we found and determined that the audience, our actual audience herself, their members voted for Legion of Audience. And I got to tell you, I'm extremely happy about this. Again, that was a little bit of a mistake. I was trying to say Legion or Audience. And of course, I'm just such an advanced thinker. I'm five thoughts ahead before where my mouth is currently. I said Legion of Audience and it stuck. I got to tell you, I couldn't be happier. Now, Ray,
I'm going to hijack the conversation right now because that's absolutely embarrassing for all of us. I'm here to trump all of this and go over the top and tell all of you that I have a new name for fans of myself, the Almighty Ray, Ray Stakanis. I have news. You now can call yourself something more than just hashtag awkward allies. We have a second name for you. No doubt a t-shirt yet to come as well. Are you ready for it? New name for the fan base is the Rainiacs. The Rainiacs is here. The Rainiacs are here to stay. And the Rainiacs will make life a little crazy for one James Gavsey.
That's right, Ray. Legion of Audience. This is going to go on t-shirts. This is going to go on mugs. This is going to go on all of our merchandise. I can't wait to go to, you know, comic conventions when they open up again, of course, and us doing live shows. And we just see our Legion of Audience. You know, having a Legion of Audience, Ray, is like kind of having like a platoon of armies. No one has that except for us. All right. So with all that being said, it's a momentous occasion because Ray had some news and we actually got to name our fan base. So when you have a huge occasion like this with great news, you need an equally huge, massive status type of judge. And we've got one for today, making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show. You've heard them in a lot of your favorite anime, video games, and cartoons such as Demon School Runakun, Mobile Suit Gundam, and most recently as Koji Kitajima in Battle Game in 5 Seconds on Crunchyroll. Of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, Luis Bermudez. Luis, welcome to Who Would Win.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I think you buried the lead a little bit on massive, super important guest. Maybe like sub-tier cool guest.
there's nothing sub-tier about you. You know, I checked out your IMDb, and again, you're, you know, we're so fortunate to have these incredible, you know, celebrities and actors on our show. It's a running joke. It's easier to say what you haven't done than kind of list what you have done. Tell the fan base some of your favorite roles so far.
Yeah, so thank you so much. I mean, Koji Kitajima on Battle Game in 5 Seconds, which is now on Crunchyroll. I also play Fuga Saito in Number 24 on Funimation. In Mobile Suit Gundam, I play probably about 13 different characters throughout the background and also on screen, so you can just kind of look for me everywhere there. But yeah, I'm really excited to be on the show, really excited to kind of decide what's going on between these two titans of comic book lore. I'm going to be honest with you, I kind of was worried that we were going with Thanos and Darkseid just a little tiny bit, but, you know, I feel like the main detriment to Darkseid is his ability to, really, Darkseid needs just a ride to destroy the universe. Thanos needs, like, the right outfit. So I'm I'm interested to see what your arguing points are going to be.
Well, I definitely know cars and vehicles, and Ray clearly knows fashion. So I feel everyone's
being just described the two things I've never spent money on.
Right, same.
You know, they say you can't buy class. Anyway.
Which is what poor people say.
Listen, Luis, you know, again, you're judging what is possibly the biggest matchup we've ever had on the Who Would Win show. This is a lot of pressure. And we didn't want to just have any judge on here. So there's a lot on your shoulders with this. A lot of other people we ask come on the show, they're like, no, I can't do this. It's too much pressure. They were really just completely losing their composure. How are you so unfazed? How are you keeping everything like so together?
So little thing happened, like the end of the world kind of just came hurtling around the corner for a lot of us, it seems like. And so there's not much to phases me anymore, man. It is the Wild West again, it seems like. So I feel like the least taxing thing I can spend my evening doing is deciding Thanos or Darkseid. I feel like those are the less stressful scenarios I could be under.
It's crazy, but this is, you know, there's a reason why we say this show ignores anything important happening in the world. Let's face it, there's a lot of important things happening in the world. But we need this type of diversion. And by the way, we're so divided, this actually can bring us together until you make a decision and then our fan base gets divided once more time.
Right, and then it's blood again in the streets once more. Right.
Listen, we're used to it. It's a thing with Who Would Win. All right, Ray, how ready are you for today's matchup?
This is a matchup that, at least for me, is years coming.
Got it. I'm also equally excited because, listen, I love Thanos. I love him so much that I hate him, and that hate turned into even more love, so I'm all conflicted on the inside. All right, so with that said, it's time for the main event of Showdown September. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the villain who killed half of the universe as revenge for being sidelined by Ronald McDonald, Thanos. And representing DC Comics, the villain who, when standing on the moon, is a perfect soundtrack for the Wizard of Oz, Darkseid.
You know, I've never seen Thanos and Grimace in the same room ever.
Look, I don't want to say anything about anything because both are dangerous.
Oh, no. One destroyed half the universe, and the other one appeared in Endgame.
That's correct.
So it's, you know, these are equally powerful. Good thing it's not Darkseid versus Grimace is all I'm saying.
Be over.
All right. Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Rule number one, each debater will make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge of the opponent or time to prepare for the fight. Rule number three, the debater must stay within the confines of the character's personality, and the exact version of that character has to be specifically stated. Now, race to Canis. We've seen so many different versions of Thanos. All of them, by the way, are pretty fantastic. Which version are you using for today's matchup?
Look, we got to go with the big guns on this one. It's the main event of Showdown September. Marvel 616 version of Thanos. Are you kidding?
You know what? Until Darkseid appears, hopefully in the Snyderverse version of the next Justice League movie, I got to agree with you. When you want to say take the ultimate version versus the ultimate version, perfect decision on your part, Ray. I'm also going, surprise, surprise, with Darkseid from current DC Comics. All right, rule number four. Debaters may only use examples of skills, powers, or weapons that are a long-established part of the character's continuity. Feats from non-canon crossovers are allowed, but will be given less weight. Rule number five. The winner of the debate is whomever the judge decides has the best case for defeating their opponent by death, submission, or battlefield removal. And finally, rule number six. The judge is the final arbiter and can disallow or veto any point they feel violates these rules or established logic. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Get your official Who Would Win t-shirts, mugs, and merchandise by going to whowouldwinshow.com and clicking on the merch section. Remember, keep an eye out for new merch all the time. Maybe a new Legion of Audience shirt or Legion of Audience mug or Legion of Audience quick claim deed for your house. Whatever it is, keep an eye out for it. Look, as guys, so much of our personal identity is wrapped up in our hair. From how it feels after getting a great haircut, to the way we style it before going out. And that's why when we get into our 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time. Because let's face it, no guy is ever ready to go bald. Thankfully, now there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to keep your hair.
And in the olden days of yore, you had to go to a doctor to get a prescription. But now, with Keeps, you can do all that online and get the hair loss medication delivered right to your front door every 3 months. No more waiting at the doctor's office. No more waiting at the pharmacy.
So find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors and why more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at, wow, just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free.
Look, there's only 2 FDA-approved products out there to combat hair loss. Heck, you might have even tried them before, but you've never tried them with this convenience and at this price.
If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/win to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/win.
The next chapter in the New York Times best-selling Last Kids on Earth series is here in The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. If you didn't know, The Last Kids on Earth is a graphic novel series from authors Max Brallier and Joshua Pruitt, where 13-year-old Jack Sullivan survives the zombie apocalypse in what's been called The Walking Dead meets The Simpsons. Yeah, you get it. It's bright, it's fun, and it's got an art style all its own. It's crazy. Now, in The Last Comics on Earth, our band of heroes are hard at work creating their own sequel, which of course is going to be bigger and crazier than anything ever seen before. I mean, we got supervillains, we got monsters, heck, we got a kaiju with a car head and hamburger feet who's named Steve. Yeah, this book has it all, and it carries the important Who Would Win Show stamp of approval. So if you'd like to check out this new book that also has a spin-off Netflix series, might I add, then let's make it happen. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com and learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details on Thanos.
Thanos is a galactic warlord hailing from the moon Titan. He was created by Jim Starlin and first appeared in the Invincible Iron Man number 55 back in 1973. Thanos, aka the Mad Titan, is the son of Eternals Alarz and Suisan. Thanos looked different than the other Eternals because he carried the deviant gene. Fearing mass death and destruction, Suisan tried to kill him, but was stopped by Alarz. Despite growing up a pacifist, Thanos started to get into nihilism in adolescence, just like all the rest of us, and eventually became the conqueror everyone feared. Considered one of the most powerful beings in the entire Marvel Universe, Thanos accomplished his eventual goal of eliminating half of the beings in the universe in both the comic books and also the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Fun fact, Thanos took most of his initial appearance from one of the DC Comics New Gods. Of course, that character was Metron. However, Marvel editor Roy Thomas saw the design and said, quote, "Beef him up. If you're gonna steal one of the New Gods, at least rip off Darkseid, the really good one." So, Thanos underwent a physical change to appear more like his opponent today, Darkseid, and that is Thanos.
I love it. Okay, here are the details for Darkseid. Created by the iconic Jack Kirby, Darkseid first appeared in Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 134,
wow,
back in November 1960. Well, you think Jimmy Olsen.
Classic,
right?
Callback, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to appear?
He's everyone's other pal.
Yeah, he's everyone's pal, and maybe Darkseid's pal. Maybe he will. Anyway, Darkseid is a tyrannical ruler of Apocalypse, a sadistic, aggressive, and merciless tyrant who has invaded and conquered countless worlds throughout the universe. As the god of tyranny and of evil, Darkseid seeks to enslave all things to his will using the anti-life equation. On his own, Darkseid is one of the most powerful beings in all of existence, whose mere name brings fear into the hearts of billions. Considered to be amongst the greatest threats to the DC universe, Darkseid has often battled and beaten numerous powerful heroes, armies, and entire civilizations, all in order to impose his will and make what he feels is a chaotic universe turn into one of order under his command. And here's an interesting fact about Darkseid that no one's ever heard of ever before. It's so true. Did you know that Darkseid was the inspiration for Thanos?
Huh.
It's true. Race to Kane has evidently cheated, looked at my notes, and said, "Huh, I wonder what James Gavs is using as a fun fact. I'll take that for myself." Here's a fun fact. Race to Kane has actually did it, but I have another fun fact about Darkseid. Darkseid was actually inspiration for part of Darth Vader. They actually said, "Hey, what is Darth Vader going to say as part of his iconic part?" And what does Darth Vader do? You never underestimate the power of the dark side. And that all came from Darkseid, the one I'm talking about. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Luis, first of all, are you impressed that I kind of came up with another fun fact on the spot after Race to Kane stole mine? And do you have any questions before we get started?
I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate he had access to your notes like that. I mean, start with a stronger password, number one.
Thank you.
Number two, I mean, the original evil is a hard thing to come by, and Darkseid seems to be like original evil to me, especially if he's like creating and inspiring two of the, I mean, worst people in space. I mean, these guys all seem to be like the worst people in space. But Darth Vader and Thanos is kind of a, yeah.
Yep, that's who I'm starting with.
Right.
And Rey's also here.
Rey is, yeah.
Darkseid also inspires me, just for the record.
Right. You were birthed from Darkseid. Gotcha.
It's on his birth certificate, actually. It's kind of interesting. All right, Rey, it is time to start this insane, crazy, world-ending, potentially, matchup. Go ahead and hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Thanos. We're just going to talk about his full level of durability, because this is a character who does not go down and does not stay down. The basics. Physicality. He's been punched by Captain Marvel, and it broke his hand. This is the original Captain Marvel. He basically broke all the fingers in his hand trying to punch Thanos. Captain Marvel, okay? Namor. Thanos went down into the ocean to fight Namor into his home turf. And Namor also broke his hand trying to punch him. Namor, this is one of the strongest characters in all of Marvel, decimated himself trying to attack him. In fact, Thanos no-sold hits from both The Thing and Ronan the Accuser. Absolutely ridiculous. And energy blasts. People have tried, okay, the physical thing's not going to work. Let's sit back and shoot energy blasts from a distance. Well, he's taken shots and tanked them from Odin. Odin, as in Thor's father. He's tanked hits from the Silver Surfer, one of, the most powerful characters. Adam Warlock, a very powerful guy, going to be in the MCU eventually, I'm sure. And he took a shot from the Cosmic Cube, which is sort of the Infinity Gauntlet, esque level of power. You get blasted by it and he was fine. In fact, Annihilus, another strong villain, he had what's called the Annihilus Throne World, which is essentially a Death Star beam that comes from space and it hits you and you vaporize. Thanos took several shots from this without going down. This is in this particular story, this is something that killed Thor. It killed Gladiator, who James Gavsey calls Superman level. It killed Hyperion, who James Gavsey refers to as Superman level. And it killed the Hulk, who no doubt at some point James Gavsey has said is Superman level. It's killed all those people. Thanos took several shots and was fine. Hey, let's talk about force fields. Thanos has them if he needs them. Doesn't really seem like he does, but he's been able to throw up a force field whenever he needs to. Mental attacks. People have tried to go into him spiritually, and he's resisted possession and basically kicked people out of his head. At one point, the synapses in his brain, the electricity monitoring that, went down, and he just got knocked out briefly. It didn't kill him or anything like that when his brain just stopped working. Heck, at one point, Thanos went into a comet because he was looking for an artifact in there. He flew into this comet, which was vaporizing him as he was getting deeper into it, and he had the force of will to keep going. He turned into a skeleton, a full skeleton, grabbed the object, portaled himself back, and then within a handful of sentences was back to being full Thanos again with full level regeneration from being a skeleton. That's Lobo level, if not better. And some of the greatest stuff, some of the hard stuff I wrote here, he went into a black hole and came out of it. Doesn't usually happen. He went through a series of dimensions where he was getting reality warped by a very powerful reality warping just environment, and his face was melting off and everything, and he just kept reverting back to normal because you can do anything you want to Thanos, but he has the force of will to come back. At one point, environmentally, he was dragged to the core by Ego, the living planet. You know, the power of a planet crushing you with pressure, and he was fine. And he was also once teleported into the middle of a star, like the sun, and he came out of that just fine. So at the end of the day, what possible measure and means of attack is Darkseid going to come up with that hasn't been tried already and fail? That is my point number one.
Okay, interesting. Of course, Thanos is one of the most powerful beings within, you know, the Marvel 616 universe. That is kind of undisputed. However, you know, the running mantra, if you will, between comic book fans all over the world is that DC, and a lot of people think this is an issue. I actually like it. DC kind of overpowers their, you know, villains, their superheroes and what have you. I'm not going to say it's overpowered. I'm just saying the power difference is going to be quite evident real quick. Now, first questions first. You said Namor had battled Thanos. Is it Namor or is it Namor?
It's whatever I say it is, James Gavsey. I'm an American.
That's correct. That is Namor, who actually traded punches with him.
Look,
is Namor
James Gavsey,
Superman
you got
level?
Me saying Thanos instead of Thanos after two seasons of talking to me about it. You're going to have to give me Namor.
I'm going to say no more of Namor because that's incorrect. All right. And is Namor or Namor or whoever he is, is he a Superman level being as well?
I wouldn't consider him Superman being, but if you were repping him, you'd probably say he was.
You know, that's the magic of James Gavsey, hashtag James Just Knows. All right, so look, these are all insane things about Thanos that he can do. He's no joke. He's a serious threat. You got to take him seriously. And this is why I love this matchup with Darkseid, because, you know, a lot of people say they match up really well. I actually say they don't match up well. I actually think Thanos is really not going to match up that well to Darkseid just because he can't keep up power level. Let me talk more about that in my first point. So point number one, Darkseid is terrifying. This is a terrifying being. He has what's called a new god physiology, and a new god is kind of like the ultimate pantheon of gods. There's, you know, you've got the Greek pantheon, they've got, you know, Norse pantheon in DC Comics, and the new gods, you know, that Darkseid is part of is actually above them all. It's kind of crazy. Darkseid often is called the godhead of the multiverse. He's an entity of pure evil. In the universe, his universe of gods, he is the god of gods. I'm just starting with that. So let's talk more about him. So Darkseid is obviously immortal. He's lived for over 245,000 years. He's at least as strong as the strongest version of Superman, possibly quite a bit stronger. Let me put that into context. I'm not talking about Superman right now, although he's insanely strong. I'm talking about Golden Age Superman, because Darkseid, even with the new rebooting of the DC Universe and what have you, it's still the same Darkseid from the whatever it was, whatever year he came from. That's the same character. It's the same one. He kept up with Superman back in the day when Superman could pull planets together and put a chain through a solar system of planets and pull them to a new solar system. That's who Darkseid had to keep up with. That's how strong he is. All right, now he's not just invulnerable. He's what I call beyond. He can withstand the destruction of a universe. Black hole, yeah, that's cute. Not a problem for him. A galaxy exploding, yeah, nothing. He can withstand the destruction of a universe. You know how I know that? Because he destroys the universe while he's in it, and he just stands there and he takes it. Not a problem. He's got what is called a universal level of speed. I had to research this. This is really interesting. So you've got like the Flash, who can do the infinite mass punch that Ray loves so much, and you've got like Superman level, which is a little bit lower than Flash. Darkseid has what's called universal level, which means he can travel the universe in seconds. So if he had to go to what's called the source wall, it's on one edge of the universe, he can get there within seconds. That's the kind of power and speed he has. Now, put that in context. Ray, you were debating Dr. Fate in a great episode we had a little while ago of Dr. Fate versus Dr. Strange. And you talked about the speed of Dr. Fate because of the god Naboo and how he inhabits the helmet and what have you. And the helmet transversed from one part of the universe to the end, or came from one part of the universe back to the Earth, and did that in a year, which is still insanely fast. Darkseid did that in seconds. Again, a whole new level of speed. He can easily move planets if he wants to. He can punch through a planet. That's if he decides to do it. If he wants to, if he can be bothered. He can regenerate a body part if needed. It takes an insane amount of power to be able to do it. Last person to cause him real harm, Wonder Woman stabbed him in the eye with a super magical sword. It's a sword she uses that where she slices it, can split atoms and cause nuclear explosions. She stabbed him in the eye, kind of stopped him for a second. He just regenerated the eye. He was fine. He's got superhuman stamina. He can fight at full speed forever and at full strength, never going to tire. He's also one of the most intelligent beings in the universe, being described as at least 100 steps up the evolutionary ladder from the most intelligent beings elsewhere. Oh, but there's more. He's actually also one of the best and most skilled fighters in the multiverse because, you know, why not? It's true. He is. Wonder Woman, who Batman said has faster combat speed than Superman and can fight better, was watching a fight between Darkseid and Zeus. More on that later. However, during that fight, Wonder Woman was blown away by saying, "I've never seen someone have that level of combat speed before." And that was something that Darkseid was doing easily while battling Zeus. By the way, he won that fight. Now, as the literal god of evil, Darkseid also has the following abilities. What you and I call abilities, they're actually described as powers, because what he can do with these abilities is on an insane level. So some of his powers are deception. How's that work? I don't know, but he can do it. Strategy is a power. Tactics, intellect. Here's one, intimidation. I have no idea how that's a power, but he uses it. He's also got a god-level power over quantum mechanics, which, by the way, means he can warp reality. And by the way, all this stuff is just the minor powers of Darkseid. Put all that together, you can see why he's going to be a problem for Thanos, and that's just my point number one.
Look, Darkseid's a very powerful character. I don't think I'm going to sit here and try to pretend like Darkseid isn't beef. Darkseid is pure beef. He's a great villain. He's one of the top villains in all of the DC universe. There's no fighting it, but there is fighting it. Because Thanos, you say, oh, he's a god. Great. Thanos beats gods all the time. Thanos went and beat Odin. Thanos has crushed Thor with one shot repeatedly. Thanos went down into the nether realm of Mephisto and handed it to Mephisto very, very easily. So when it comes to fighting gods, oh, wait. Who else kind of resembles the new gods of the DC Universe? Well, they're called the Eternals. They're called the Eternals in the Marvel Universe, and Thanos is one of them. Which means that when you talk about this high level of power that Darkseid brings as a result of his birth, Thanos brings an equal level of power onto it. And the idea that you're going to sit here and talk about intimidation. Does Thanos look like he's going to be intimidated by anybody? Does he look like he's going to be out-strategized by anybody? Thanos is playing not 4D chess, but 28D chess all at the same time. And he's got all these machinations going on all throughout the universe. I find it very hard to believe that Darkseid's going to find something that Thanos isn't ready for.
Doesn't Thanos have like this weird infatuation with death, like a love affair that where death does not return the love that Thanos wants?
Yes, death is a person in the Marvel Universe. And Thanos wants to get with her.
Yes. And, you know, isn't that something that intimidates him that, like, hey, he wants to be with Death, but Death is like, no, and there's nothing he can do? I'm just saying, to that point of being intimidated, like, he's, like, worried that he's not going to do enough.
Anyway, that's a love affair. I mean, look, unrequited love is a cruel mistress. Let's just keep it real. Who's hanging out with Darkseid, by the way?
Unfortunately, he has quite the history. One of his kids is actually the progeny of an Amazonian goddess.
Wow.
So he's quite attractive
he's
to certain people. He's a ladies' man. Now, by the way, just one little thing. I'd like the judge to strike one comment you made. It made me feel uncomfortable in my insidey places. You said, I quote, "Darkseid is beef." Is that correct?
Pure beef.
Right.
100%
yeah, I'm gonna ask
beef.
That, I'm going to ask that we strike that from the battle and from my
mind.
Can I
ask for more clarification on what kind of beef? Like, what cut
are we
talking
about? I'd rather we didn't. I'd rather we just kill this right now.
Is there a grain for beef? What do they come in?
FDA approved. That's all I'm going to say.
FDA approved. Edible. Edible is what we're going for.
Edible beef.
I think.
This is who wants a Thanos beef sandwich, and that's gross. All right.
Oof.
Luis, you've heard point number one from Ray. You've heard point number one from me. Tell us where your head's at with this battle so far.
So I think the number one thing I eliminated right off the bat was the comparisons between the Marvel and DC thing, just because I feel like if we're having an argument between which of these characters, if they existed in the same universe, were strong enough to battle, using the, well, technically Darkseid came first argument is, like, lame. So assuming that they're in the same universe and all the horrible spheres aligned for them to do that, right now, I'm kind of leaning towards Darkseid, just because the destroyed the universe and was, like, in it while it was imploding. That's just metal, and there's nothing else about that. But Thanos, I mean, if there's one thing I love about Thanos, it's that he's methodical, and he seems like he's got a propensity for breaking people's hands when they punch him, which is, like, something he should get checked out. But he seems durable, and I feel like if we're talking about who survives the destruction of the universe, it's probably these two dudes, and if they're fighting in a white void, that's what they're doing. So the indestructible thing, it seems, and the regeneration ability seems to be on par for these two. So I feel like once I hear more about what they've done, specific acts that they've done, or specific powers that they have that might circumvent the other's abilities, that's where I'll start to kind of sway more in one favor or the other. But right now I'm leaning towards Darkseid.
One quick question. Would you say Darkseid is more metal than Thanos is beef?
I don't even
this
know.
This is important. This is where our fans are.
I don't know how to begin
now.
Answering that question.
You don't have to. You don't have to. You can ponder this as far as long as you want. All right, Ray Sicanus.
Darkseid is to metal as Thanos is to beef.
I mean, that is the most common SAT question I've ever seen in my life. By
right,
the way.
Right. Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's like saying James is to Ray as Darkseid is to Thanos. I mean, there's just so many ways we can go with this. All right, Ray, we've been here before. It doesn't matter at this point who's slightly ahead, because as far as I'm concerned, it's a tie. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Thanos. Look, I just talked purely only one-dimensionally about the durability of Thanos. I still haven't heard James explain any way that Darkseid gets over. So let's just talk about some of the pure power that Thanos brings to the table. Because Thanos is a guy who destroys planets just by being on them. He was fighting Drax. Drax is a character we know from Guardians of the Galaxy. He was created literally to kill Thanos. And in many different battles, over and over and over again, Thanos slaps him aside with minimal difficulty. At one point, the two of them were fighting. Thanos' power just ripped the planet apart, and Drax was just left floating because there was no way he was going to get out of that. Thanos just left very, very easily. Adam Warlock, one of the most powerful, I believe, magical characters in all Marvel. Two shots from Thanos put him down for good. The Incredible Hulk, maybe the strongest character in Marvel, was attacking Thanos. Thanos backhanded him and slapped him aside, knocking him out. Like, these feats are absolutely incredible. Like, I understand that Darkseid could take some damage, but Thanos can deliver damage on a whole other level. In fact, characters that he's been able to not just beat, but easily dispatch with: Iron Man, Captain Marvel, The Thing, Silver Surfer, a cosmic level being, Beta Ray Bill, in this world, very, very powerful, and Ronan the Accuser. But I'm not done, because also Namor, War Machine, and Drax have all been easily defeated by Thanos. Thanos also doesn't just hit you physically, because he's an excellent fighter. He has great hand-to-hand ability, if it even comes down to that. He's the one who trained Gamora, his daughter, who he stole. He trained her in order to be one of the greatest fighters in the entire galaxy. So it stands to reason he can go when push comes to shove. But he also can fire out energy blasts. He can also use mental attacks. He can, like, telepathy. He's been known to use his mental attacks to take over people's bodies. He's been known to knock them unconscious mentally, or in fact hit them with such a psionic blast of power that it leaves them catatonic. It leaves them just in a state unable to keep fighting. Thanos has also been known to use magic. He's used the necromantic arts in order to bring people back from the dead. And what's often the one way in the DC universe that people get over, magic. And Thanos brings actual magic to the table. Let's just talk about removal from battle. I know Darkseid is very, very fast, but portals and teleportation are two things that Thanos uses all the time, whether it's on himself or on other people. And it is cool if you could drop Darkseid on the other side of the universe and James will claim he could just come back very, very quickly. We don't even know that that's a thing he normally would do. Usually he would not just immediately be back on the battlefield again. Not really what I've seen him do in the comics. But if you were to take him to another dimension, for example, not going to say Darkseid comes back very, very quickly in order to continue the battle. Thanos can win that way. And James is going to act like Darkseid has never lost a battle. Darkseid is a big bad in DC, which means he's been defeated and been defeated by people he maybe not ought to have been defeated by. Characters like Aquaman have defeated Darkseid. Wonder Woman has taken out Darkseid. Cyborg, I don't consider Cyborg on Darkseid's level. Well, Cyborg has a victory over Darkseid. Batman, a man with no powers, took out Darkseid. And maybe my favorite example of embarrassment, Green Arrow and the Atom teamed together, and Green Arrow, who really doesn't have any superpowers and just shoots arrows, took out Darkseid. If a dude with arrows can take out Darkseid, don't listen to what James is saying about invulnerability and he can never be defeated. He's trying to paint you a picture that is flat out wrong. You lose to Green Arrow. By goodness, you can lose to Thanos, and that's my point number two.
Wow, there's
that's
a
like
lot
the C
of
C plus billionaire playboy too.
Exactly,
yeah, that's true. There's a lot of horrible things you said there, right? Okay, let's get to the first one. So, you know, Darkseid has actually disrupted gravity of planets and warped time and space by his very presence. I'm going to explain how that all works. But when you talk about, hey, Thanos can destroy a planet by fighting on it. Sure, that sounds pretty impressive. That is Bush League for Darkseid. When Thanos beat the Hulk very easily, that's interesting. Quick question. When the Hulk fought Superman all three times in a Marvel DC crossover, who beat the Hulk? Did the Hulk win or did Superman win?
You know who won that battle, James? The lawyers who said Superman could not lose under any circumstances. So please.
That's right. The fans. The fans, that's right, the fans won, but Superman won all those times. They weren't super easy battles, by the way. The reason I'm saying that is because Darkseid beat Superman by using also a backhand.
James,
so,
if you put me in a comic book against Superman and let me write it, I'm beating Superman, so I don't know exactly what point you're trying to make right now.
I think if you wrote a comic with you and Superman, I still think you'd write yourself to lose. That's more of a commentary of your psychology, but that's all good. Darkseid is actually considered to kind of be, in a weird way, above magic. Like, magic's this force within the DC universe. Darkseid's actually, you know, considered someone who can use all forms of power, what have you. Magic's part of it, but he's kind of surpassed it. It's a little mundane for him. He's just a little too powerful for that. And by the way, I remember one fun comic where Thanos was led away in handcuffs by two of New York's finest police officers after he somehow crashed the Thanos copter. Was it Hellcat and Spider-Man? I think they webbed up his helicopter and he hit a building and then he was like, darn you, Spider-Man, and then they let him away in handcuffs. That doesn't sound like a galaxy-crushing or planet-crushing villain. Now, of course, this was the 70s and probably early 80s.
Yeah, that sounds like an ad for Twinkies, quite honestly, which also got a little weird back then.
By the way, I'm really feeling Twinkies. All right, let me get to my point number two. And this is going to answer a lot of the great points that, you know, Ray brought up. It's time for what we call the Omega Effect. Now, the Omega Effect is something that Darkseid has. It's like a cosmic energy filled with this effect where he can use that energy to kind of do insanely powerful things. He got it because I believe it was his uncle at the time who was trying to be lowered into a pit to absorb all that powers. And he's like, yeah, no, shoves him out of the way. He jumps in and then he goes from who he was, a new god, to all of a sudden Darkseid with this Omega effect. So let's talk about what he can do with this. Now, he's got his world famous Omega beams. Those are those two red beams that he shoots out of his eyes that can track a target anywhere. They can split apart and track two different targets and bend around corners and jag whatever. And they never lose sight of the target. The Flash can't outrun them. They hit pretty much 99.99% of their targets. Now, these Omega beams can do different things. Of course, they've got destructive energy where they can vaporize or absolutely disintegrate whatever they hit. They can also put someone into a state of what's called living death, which is where that person's removed and they're put into this other kind of life Force, where they go through their worst lives over and over, but actually each life gets worse and then worse and then worse, just because Darkseid likes doing that to people. He's also got a living death kind of thing where he can just put someone into this thing where they're just no more and they're just existing, but kind of not existing. His Omega Beams can also erase you from existence completely. And when I say erase you from existence, they can actually erase any memory of you as well, literally remove you from existence. Last time we saw something like that, Bugs Bunny was able to remove someone from existence by taking out a pencil with an eraser. And literally, Ray and I talked about this. What was it? Bugs Bunny versus
Fist of the North Star.
This is a fact. This is what Bugs Bunny can do. Darkseid can do the same thing. Darkseid's more powerful than Bugs Bunny. That's what I'm saying. All right. Also with this, he's got cosmic awareness. So he can perceive and understand the workings of the universe and the multiverse. When he first came and they had that Marvel DC crossover back in the 90s, first thing he did is he looked at the Infinity Gauntlet that Thanos dropped and picked it up. By the way, Hawkeye's like, why does that guy with the Infinity Gauntlet scare me more than Thanos with it? Because Darkseid held it. And of course, he was aware of what they could do and what it couldn't do. Long story short, in that shared universe, it just didn't have any power, so it was a worthless thing. All right, he's got darkness manipulation. So Darkseid is able to generate and manipulate the darkness. It's this powerful force that can destroy the most powerful beings in the universe. Right, you talked about the Eternals. Go a step above. Marvel has these quintessential characters that kind of run the universe. You know, I think there's Chaos and what have you, the one above it, whatever. So Darkseid's actually able to fight them and take them on and hurt them. That's the level above the Eternals. Let's see, he's got dimensional travel, can travel wherever dimension he wants to. He can travel through time and space at will. He's got, again, that boom tube projection. Now that boom tube can take him wherever he wants. He can bring his armies through it. He can summon people. His Omega Blast can erode anything and destroy it using entropy. He can fly because he's got this insanely powerful telekinesis that takes him wherever he wants. He can fly at great speeds, where I talked about that. He can manipulate gravity in so many different ways with his telekinesis, with the Omega effect. Even just by changing his size, being massive, he can make himself the size of a solar system if he wanted to. His hand, he made his hand so big coming from wherever he was. It was so big, it was the size of like 10 planets. It disrupted the gravity of the planet was near. Let's see, he's got chronokinesis, and where he can affect again time. Power absorption. Here's a fun one. He could actually absorb the life force of old gods, the most powerful gods in the DC universe, just to take their strength. He was able to absorb the power of Zeus, who was considered like the top of the top of the pantheon in the DC comics. Let's see, he was able to feed off of that energy. And again, he likes taking people's energy because that's what he does. He can seemingly revitalize. He can bring back the dead, is what I'm trying to say. He can resurrect the dead. Anyone he's destroyed those Omega Beams, he can bring him back. He's got telepathy. Now, Ray, this is where things get a little bit different. Darkseid's telepathy, he's one of actually the most powerful, if not the most powerful telepath in the DC multiverse. Let me give it a quick example. There's a planet called Daxam. Now, Daxam is like a sister planet to Krypton. Back in the day, thousands of years ago, these astronauts from Krypton go to Daxam and kind of settle there. And it's the same kind of genetic type of beings as Krypton. So Daxam on their planet was, you know, circling a red sun. So one day Darkseid says, hey, you know what? I need an army. Just not any type of the most powerful army in the world, maybe something like a Legion of Audience. So what does he do? He goes to Daxam. He takes over the minds of 3 billion people, doesn't just make them enslave them. He actually puts them in this really weird thing where they say, long live Darkseid. They become his like fanatical loyal servants. It was crazy. And then he's like, got it. Well, that's not good enough. I'm going to take this planet of Kryptonian-like people and put their planet and teleport it and move it across the galaxy to a yellow sun. And he did. That is the power of Darkseid. That's my point number 2.
James, you make a lot of very long-winded points there. You talked in circles and repeated yourself a lot. So what I'm going to talk about right here is the fact that during a story arc called The Final Crisis, Superman, a character you've compared everybody in the universe to, fought Darkseid 1v1 and defeated him. Superman did it. Now, Superman's an awesome character. Superman's very, very powerful, but it kind of just shows Darkseid maybe is very defeatable. Batman, on 2 occasions, bested Darkseid. Batman is a human being. He was able to dodge the Omega Beams without any use of superpowers, and Batman figured out that something called Radian, it was Darkseid's weakness, and he shot him with it with a bullet. And Darkseid didn't get out of the way, got hit by it, and was mortally wounded. I'm just saying, you're presenting Darkseid like this character who's capable of so much, and let's face it, he is. But when he's pushed by the best of the best, he folds like a tent.
All right. Now, Luis, you've heard 2 points from Ray. You've heard 2 points from me. We're now at the turning point. This is where you tell us who you think is ahead in this battle and what the other side has to do to pull out the victory.
All right. I mean, honestly, first I have to kind of call back to something you said, James. We were talking about Original Evil before, and I forgot the third Original Evil, Bugs Bunny. You can't forget him in that equation. But I feel like, and I don't know if this is okay, but I feel like we're kind of at a stalemate because I feel like Thanos, he seems like a master of all. He seems like he's spent his aeons of being in the universe, learning everything that he can. And Darkseid seems kind of like, I guess as a joke, we could say he's a boomer. He doesn't really want to learn much more. He's like, nah, I'm better than magic. And it's like, I mean, have you seen magic, though? There's always an older scroll that you haven't read. So I feel like Thanos is more adaptable. He's more willing to take in knowledge from other universes, other cosmoses, multiverses, whereas Darkseid feels like, his poop don't stank. He's got all this power and all the stuff that he was born with, this universal speed, this darkness manipulation, his ability to chronokinesize, whatever that is, turn back time and whatnot, bring back people from the dead. He thinks he's a little bit above his hitting weight, I think. And I think that's probably why he gets beat by people like Green Arrow and Batman. So I feel like now what we're really facing off against is a person who has trained to become as powerful as they possibly can be over thousands and thousands of years, and a person who was born incredibly powerful who now has to kind of overturn this idea that he's unbeatable and undestroyable, when in fact a white guy from like Seattle could do it with a couple of arrows, or another rich kid with what was it, radian?
Radian.
Something that's in, yeah, which is a common chemical in AC units, I think.
Not quite. I see what you're saying. See what you're saying. Radion's like way less available than like say kryptonite, which also is like insanely rare. But I get what you're saying. Okay,
right.
Keep going.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like we're kind of at that stalemate with these two. I feel like we've got a lot of – it seems like Darkseid has more powers than can be counted, but I will eliminate a lot of the personality things that he has, like the ability to – what was it, like diplomacize? I mean, he's not a D&D character. we're not rolling
Thank
dice.
God.
I would not even I can imagine the kind of player who would bring Darkseid to a table right now, and I don't ever want to do anything with that person ever in life. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like we're narrowing them down to what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. But I feel like especially because so far I've heard only one weakness that's actually been presented, which is Radion. You know, if there was a bigger bullet that Batman had, would that have been enough to kill Darkseid? You know, I haven't heard that Thanos has a weakness yet, aside from like getting beat up enough. That's kind of all I've seen in the movies anyway. Eventually he just gets tired and then he gets tuckered out and goes back to the
Got
universe.
It. So you need to see a way where one of the characters can clearly defeat the other.
Right, because right now it seems like what happens when an immovable object meets an unstoppable force and nothing happens. It just seems to stagnate, right? So I feel like there's got to be something that sets one of them over the edge, and I'm not quite sure what that's going to be yet.
Got it. All right. Ray, okay. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. We are now kind of where we always are, somewhere close, neck and neck to this. Again, this is why I love these debates. So go ahead. Bring your best shot. Hit us with your point number three.
It's funny, Luis. You say I'm looking for the thing that would separate these two and give victory. Well, wouldn't you know it, Thanos has that on his hand. Because Thanos uses what's called the Infinity Gauntlet with the 6 Infinity Stones. The thing about Thanos that I've been talking about before is it's predominantly not using the gauntlet that he's been able to do so many of the things that I've already mentioned on this episode. But then you add in the difference maker, because I think these two on their surface are very, very similar in power and etc., except for the fact that Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet to take everything and crank it up exponentially. So let's talk about the 6 stones of the Infinity Gauntlet that he wields. They all make the other ones more powerful, and he is powerful enough to wield them all together on his hand. Let's see. The Time Stone can obviously deal with time. Darkseid maybe has some weird time manipulation. Well, the Time Stone straight up can reverse or even freeze time itself. If he gets himself into a bad situation, he could just go all the way back and do it again with the knowledge of everything that's already come before, or just freeze Darkseid in place to do what he would with him. The Space Stone. This is one thing that he can use. He makes portals naturally, but he used the Space Stone to make deeper, harder portals. Portals that can suck people into them on a cosmic level, like the Silver Surfer, who got sucked into a portal from a little bit of a distance away and pulled into wherever Thanos wanted him to go. He could also use it to teleport himself and other. My other favorite use of the Space Stone, other than able to move planets around and destroy planets, because yes, you know, you talk about, oh, Thanos can do it while fighting. Yeah, naturally. But with the enhancements from the Infinity Gauntlet, he can vaporize a planet and everyone on it just by thinking about it. But also he can clone himself to have multiple Thanoses all over the battlefield fighting against the one Darkseid. Reality Stone. This is the snap. This is how he destroyed half of the people in the universe. That is a far-reaching power. He turned Thor to glass. He turned Nova to Legos. A pile of Legos. This is Toon Force. He has Bugs Bunny level Toon Force and the ability to reality and manipulate the world around him, something that he himself is immune to, more so because he has the Reality Stone. Wolverine attacked him, thought he got over, and he turned Wolverine's adamantium bones to rubber, and then just watched him flop over in a body horror moment for us all. The mind power. The Mind Stone gives him the power to control minds, confuse minds, take over minds, do whatever you want to with someone's mind, and take him over. Darkseid's not immune to that sort of a thing. The Power Stone is the big one. He used it to destroy a giant red star, and in doing so, Galactus was like, whoa, you're a guy I don't want to mess with. Galactus, of all people. Mistress Death, the embodiment of death of the Marvel Universe, said that he is her superior. She wouldn't even dare talk to him. It's the love of his life. She wouldn't even talk to him because she's like, I'm not even on your level, and I'm the god of death. He sunk the West Coast with a thought. He destroyed Asgard. He shattered Captain America's shield. What objects are going to stand in his way? And finally, the Soul Stone attacks on a spiritual level. He was able to suck the soul out of people who are going to attack him, so the bodies flopped over, and he trapped the soul inside of his own power. There are so many different ways that he could defeat Darkseid, and it's going to be not even an arrow necessary in this one, because at the end of the day, the thing that sets these two apart is Thanos knows that at the end of the day, he can be beaten. He knows that he needs these perfect plans, machinations, and tactics, because he knows that it's possible for an army to get over on him. Darkseid doesn't think that's possible, and that's why characters like Green Arrow and Batman, he'll underestimate them. And that's when they're going to get the shots in. And it's not going to be some radiant bullet. It's not going to be some arrow from Green Arrow. It's going to be reality warping powers that literally melt and twist Darkseid into a puddle on the floor and shoot the molecules into an infinite number of dimensions, never hearing from him again, at least for 2 minutes. So Thanos wins this Who Would Win battle. That's my point number three.
Really? You're using the Infinity Gauntlet, something that he doesn't usually have.
He's well known for the Infinity Gauntlet, James Gavsey. I don't know what to tell you.
So out of his entire history, of course, he's well known for that. Babe was known for his home runs, but he has more strikeouts. It's interesting that you're saying that's how he wins. He has an object that he rarely has. And even when he does have it, how long does it take him to get it? It takes a while. He has to find it.
This is an item that he has had and used for a very, very long set of story arcs, James Gavsey. We want these two characters at the height of their powers. Why are you so sniveling and afraid?
I'm not. It's just interesting. I remember our last matchup of Indiana Jones and Lara Croft, and you said that Lara Croft had all these archaeological items of like supreme power and what have you. And I said, great. Does she carry these with her all the time? And you said no. And that's what is kind of interesting here. He doesn't always have the Infinity Gauntlet. When he does, he's fantastic. I love that.
He does
by the way.
Here. I promise you that.
So is this just some bitterness from the Goku matchup? Just wondering.
I will
from
not
the Goku.
Confirm nor deny.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, I'm going to leave this one to the judge. I think, again, this is not something that's common for him to have.
Pretty common.
Any Marvel... Yeah, not really. Okay, so here's the
thing.
You're
trying,
so, James. Luis, here's the thing. To answer your first question, Darkseid actually is always trying to improve his logic and his knowledge. He's always on the search for the anti-life equation. It's not that he's like, hey, I'm above magic in terms of I'm too good for that. It's more along the lines of I will learn anything I need to. I'm not going to be stuck in one thing. He takes knowledge from everywhere because he's all about finding that anti-life equation. Actually, Ray, one quick question. Death didn't talk to Thanos even after he killed like half the universe?
That's correct.
He's got like no game whatsoever. This is like, I mean, I'm just
unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
One might argue that death is a cruel mistress.
Right. I'd say that hardens a man, right? Mm-hmm. And constantly turned down, that makes you emotionally strong.
Totally. Is that what happened, Ray?
As far as I'm concerned.
To you. Sorry. Okay, now, with that being said, let me
I got stronger, James.
Oh, no. No, not the trauma.
All right, now let me get to my point number three. And this is really going to kind of bring a lot to light. You know, Thanos, even with the Infinity Gauntlet, has been defeated. He's been defeated by his own sense of or lack of confidence, lack of belief in himself. And that's something people have actually played into where he's actually retreated into the one of the, I think it was the Soul Gem, and then just left the Infinity Gauntlet there for someone else to pick up. He has allowed mind games to completely defeat him before. Mind games, by the way, something Darkseid has done exceedingly well. Okay, but let's also talk about how Thanos has been defeated in really specific ways that Darkseid could also do in the same way. Adam Warlock turned Thanos into stone. He transmuted what Thanos was into and actually turned him into stone. Not sure if he had the Infinity Gauntlet or not, but I think he may have, not sure. That is something Darkseid could do. Remember, he can warp reality, he can transmute objects, his Omega Beams, the Omega Effect, that allows him to do a lot of stuff. He's turned people into objects before, not a problem. Thanos' own son, Thane, which is kind of interesting, Thane and Thanos. Thane defeated Thanos using his ability to trap people in a state of living death. That's something that Darkseid does exactly. I'm pretty sure they got that idea from Darkseid and gave that to Thane, thanks to the writers. Again, Thane did that to Thanos, trapped him in a state of living death, took him off the playing board completely. Again, Thane is awesome. He's not as powerful as Thanos. He's definitely not as powerful as Darkseid. Darkseid could do that in a much better way. Thanos has been beaten by getting a beating, literally getting beaten by some of the Avengers, not even the whole thing. That was Thor, Groot, and a couple of others who just laid an ultimate smackdown on Thanos. You can actually do that. Now, why that's important is because whenever Darkseid takes on the Justice League, I'm talking about Superman, Wonder Woman, Shazam, Green Lantern, all of them, they really can't do that much to him other than maybe push him through a boom tube that they got to figure out how to open thanks to Cyborg. This is not something they're going to do in terms of giving him a beatdown and just leaving him like senseless. More on that later. Now, as if Darkseid wasn't insanely powerful enough, here's a list of his feats to kind of demonstrate, again, just really how powerful he is. He's powerful enough to sink the structure of the multiverse. Now, why that's important, even with the Infinity Gauntlet, it is a well-known fact that it only is powerful within that exact universe. If you go to another universe in parallel within the Marvel 616 universe or what have you, go to a different universe, take that same Infinity Gauntlet, go there, it doesn't work at all. It becomes inert. In fact, in the Marvel and DC crossover, I already mentioned it, when Darkseid grabbed the Infinity Gauntlet and held it, it didn't work. So whenever you have a crossover of universes where people come together, the gauntlet actually doesn't work at all. But even if it did, I'm not even sure he's going to have it. Okay. Again, he toys with Superman, beats him using one and two backslaps. He has consumed entire universes as in consuming. And let's see. Darkseid fought this being called the Anti-Monitor. And the Anti-Monitor is being created to destroy all of existence. All of it. And he can do it. Darkseid fought him to a draw for all, and then actually overcame him. That's how powerful Darkseid is. And by the way, those defeats by Batman, one of them was just more getting out of the way. The other one, he was like, hey, I set off these bombs, so please don't send them off or whatever. It was more of a mind game, which is kind of cool. And Darkseid was even like congratulating Batman. He's like, that was really cool. And the other one was when Batman was wearing the Hellbat armor. That's his crazy armor that the Justice League put together and infused with power. Yeah, guess what? Darkseid also beat the Hellbat armor. All these beings, actually, all these feats are nowhere near what Darkseid can do. Because Darkseid actually resides in what's called the fourth dimension. And if you think of the DC universe, you've got the Earth, you've got all the multiverses, you've got the Speed Force around that, and then you have the fourth dimension, which is above and encircles all of that. That's where Darkseid lives. Darkseid's like Unicron, right? If you remember that. Unicron's this being who is a Nexus being, exists in every universe you can think of, but it's really just the same Unicron all throughout. That's Darkseid. So Darkseid rarely actually appears. Whenever you see Darkseid in comics, it's his avatar. It's this little being he creates and infuses with some of his power, sometimes a lot, sometimes not so much, but it's never truly all of his power because he stays at his residence, wherever that is, in the fourth dimension. Now, just picture that. A being, he's like, here's have some of my power, and you can take on a being that's designed to destroy the entire, you know, all of existence. So when all of a sudden Thanos has that Infinity Gauntlet, I doubt he'd have it, by the way, if he did have it within the Marvel 6-1 universe, and Darkseid's kind of in the fourth kind of wall, whatever, the fourth dimension, and kind of brings him in, which he would do, all of a sudden that Infinity Gauntlet, by definition, doesn't even work anymore. Put all of that together, all of this does not end up well for Thanos. That is my point number three.
James, you talk too long and you repeat yourself a lot. One of the things that I want to talk about here is the fact that I'm bringing up specific combat examples, specific ways that one person could defeat the other in a battle. You like to talk about, well, he had this grand scheme of the universe where 3 billion people lived in harmony on a planet of... No, I'm talking about fights. You're talking about other stuff. And at the end of the day, these two characters have a similar level of power. It's an interesting and unique approach to just have the... Have the comeback when I talk about the Infinity Gauntlet and your response is, nuh-uh, no, it wouldn't work. James, no one's buying it. Height of their powers in a who would win battle. That's how I know you've been beaten. That's how I know you've been defeated, because you have no response to that. The other thing I just want to mention, Thanos has defeated things called the Thanosy, which he basically got bored. And so he started using genetic manipulation and mutation to splice his genes with other Marvel characters, all the way up to and including Galactus, and then took shots and defeated all of them. So at the end of the day, he's beaten himself and even heightened versions of himself. So Darkseid's not going to be a problem, especially with the Infinity Gauntlet.
Destroying a universe as an avatar versus like, hey, I've got Galactus who can destroy planets. Again, we're not kind of talking about the same thing here.
James, one is a scheme, the other is a battle. And that's the difference between our arguments today.
Got it. So one needs outside interference with weapons. He never has. The other one's just who he is. Got it. All right. So, Luis, you've heard three points from Ray. You've heard 3 points from me. Now is the time for you to come up with a decision and tell us who wins. Take us through your process. Tell us a story.
Right.
And give us some closure on this who would win matchup, the main event between Thanos and Darkseid.
Gotcha. Now, I think really what we're coming down to is these characters in their best. And I think in the universe where they are written by a fantastic writer, where they are drawn by a fantastic artist, we're not going to see a Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet, but we're also not going to see a Darkseid who does not take his opponent as seriously as they warrant. Darkseid, like you said, he's fought against people who have had hands in creating the multiverse, destroying parts of the multiverse, and destroying its greatest champions, right? What we know about Darkseid is that when he faces off against somebody who is of his power level or above or close to, he takes them seriously. Maybe when he's fighting a human, he doesn't take them as seriously, and that's why he gets hit with a stray arrow and he's got to take a nap for a weekend, rest his tendonitis, whatever's going on with him. But when he faces off against somebody who is as powerful or close to powerful enough, he takes them seriously, and I don't think he'd be pulling any punches with Thanos. That being said, Thanos would not fight against this guy, would not fight him without the Infinity Gauntlet, which essentially makes him equal to him. And I feel like with the Infinity Gauntlet, in their respective universes, they would then have to come to a decision about where they were going to meet to have this bout. And knowing what you know about Darkseid, James, would you say that he enjoys a challenge? Would you say that he would want to engage, because these are people who love war and love battle. Would you say that he would meet Thanos on his level to fight him with the Infinity Gauntlet? Or would Darkseid view that as handicapping himself when he's obviously got the advantage?
Darkseid, unfortunately, would never allow himself to be handicapped with anything. But with that being said, again, you go to back to the Marvel DC crossover event 96, where you don't actually see them fight. You just see them kind of confront each other.
Right.
And Thanos says, "Are you ready for this fight?" And Darkseid just starts smiling, saying, "You have no idea what's about to happen to you." Something along those lines. Clearly, not only is he up for it with a smile, he's enjoying it, but he wants to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is like the Lord of Destruction.
Got you. Now, my where I'm leading with this is kind of just what I know about these characters, right? Thanos, practiced, methodical, just kind of letting you into my notes, practiced, methodical, knows he can be beaten. Equal power with Infinity Gauntlet, but takes a while to put together, right? Lacks belief in himself, believes he is right without a fault. Thanos copter, these are the things he has above above Darkseid from what was presented. What I know about Darkseid is that he is sadistic, he is egotistical, he thinks he is unstoppable, but there are times when he can be humble and respect the people that he's fighting. And I feel like, because you said that he had a moment where he actually respected Batman for outthinking him, outsmarting him. I feel like Thanos and Darkseid, when presented with the opportunity to fight the ultimate warlord of the universe, would not back down from that fight as a matter of honor, right? I feel like Darkseid would meet Thanos on his chosen battlefield, which is in a universe where the Infinity Gauntlet is at its ultimate capability. And then at that point, we are watching two Titans battle with the force of their character, the force of their own caricatures, more so than their own power ability. And if I have to go just based off of the character and what I know about them, I feel like the person that would pull ahead would be Thanos. I feel like he comes in practiced. He comes in studying his enemy. He comes in knowing where he is on the food chain, right? Where Darkseid, he's coming in, even if he's looking at him with a level of respect, he's a peon. Thanos isn't a new god. He's made of the same stuff as all the other garbage star stuff that floated around the universe and then formed into beings at some point during his creation, right? I feel like Darkseid would not measure himself up properly and would find himself lacking because of that.
Luis, I got a question for you. So Thanos without the Infinity Gauntlet, how does he do in this battle?
Absolutely torn to shreds.
Thank you very much.
Utterly torn to shreds.
So Luis, here's where I'm standing with this.
I agree.
I think.
But I will say, both of them would be destroyed by our ultimate Dark Lord, Bugs Bunny.
Absolutely. Bugs would kind of dead. All right, Luis, I got to tell you, I'm surprised because as a judge that you would allow the Infinity Gauntlet. I take this actually as a win because without it, you just said Darkseid would tear him to shreds. Race to Canis, you are bitter from the Goku versus Thanos battle. This is interesting. So, Luis, it's like I'm torn. I respect you so much as a judge. I completely disagree with your decision. Again, with all due respect. Ray, tell me how you're feeling right now.
It's a lot of weirdness coming from you, James. That's like saying, well, you know, without his super strength and vulnerability, flight, and breath, Superman gets destroyed by that guy. Well, yeah, except for the fact that that's who he is and that's what he has. Luis is obviously a super genius on the level of both a Thanos and a Darkseid.
Oh, this
and
isn't
I
what
give
I wanted.
Him full credit for coming to the right decision at the end of this day. Redemption for Thanos. On the Who Would Win show, you love to see it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Luis, this is the monster you've created.
Yeah.
This is what you've unleashed. You want to rethink your decision? You can't, by the way, because you already said it. Now, here's the deal. Again, I love all our judges. I completely disagree with your decision, even with the Infinity Gauntlet. But with that being said, I want you back on the show because the way you craft a story is insanely awesome and very entertaining.
Man.
You are incredible. Race to Canis, cheating. The only thing I got to say is I'm disappointed in myself for thinking that you wouldn't do that. Well played, sir.
Outrageous. The fact is, you know you lost because Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet is better. That's why you kept stammering and huffing that he shouldn't be allowed to have it, because you knew that was a pure and absolute avenue to victory.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I held back because I didn't want to say Darkseid with the anti-life equation. Yeah, that's the whole thing. I was actually trying to come at this in a more honorable way, Race to Canis, but that's okay.
Well, that's lesson new.
Learned. That's what you got to learn. Darkseid doesn't pull his punches, man. You got to let it all out.
That's true. All right. Luis, this was awesome. Again, fantastic job as a judge. Some would say I would disagree with that, but I did like your whole process. Tell our fans, the League of Audience, by the way, League of Audience, let me know how you feel about this matchup. DM me, tell me. Hashtag James Just Knows How You Really Feel. Luis, tell our fan base where everyone can find you.
Well, if you agree with James that I was a terrible judge, don't worry about it. But
no, you're a great judge. You came to a terrible decision, but you were a great judge.
Right, right. Tomato, potato. Right.
Sure.
But if you would like to find me, I am at Luis Bermudez VO everywhere. Twitter, Instagram. Don't try to request me on Facebook. I'm there. Don't look for me. That's all.
Luckily we don't have a big fan base on Facebook. Oh yeah, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
That's okay. It's
maybe
okay.
Just Dark Side with his boomers. That's pretty much.
I love it. Dark Side and the Boomers is like the Hootie and the Blowfish of the. Right. Of the 70s. I don't know where we're going with this. All right, Race to Canis. Race to Canis. You did it, man. You did it. You got redemption for Thanos. I'm now more motivated than ever. You've unleashed something. Yeah, I got to tell you.
You need more motivation.
Oh, Race to Canis. The next matchup will be something magnificent. Just you wait. With that being said, congratulations. A win is a win, and you fought admirably today. Tell the fan base how you feel and where they can find you.
This particular battle was 2 years of spite in the making after Thanos versus Goku in season one, a match that I left feeling perplexed, agonized, and beat down afterwards. So sometimes in the course of a Who Would Win season, there are certain battles, and you can speak to this, James, that you want just a little bit more on a deeply personal level, especially when you can right a wrong that has happened before. We're talking about me with the NFL Super Pro battle, Guardians. There's a lot of wonderful battles we've had in this season that you could tell I wanted just a little bit more. This battle fits that mold. This is one I've been researching for at least over 2 years to be ready for today. And I came in not messing around like I've been lately, not having fun with it. I'm here to do one thing, destroy. And I have done it. You can find me on Twitter at Almighty Ray. All you Rainiacs, all you hashtag awkward allies, we're gonna celebrate the heck out of this one. Join me on Victory Friday. We're gonna have a party.
League of Audience, you've never let me down. Let me know how you thought the matchup went. Sometimes you disagree. Sometimes you agree. Sometimes you love what's being said, what I say. Sometimes you love what... Tell me what's on your mind after this matchup. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. By the way, new merch coming out for League of Audience. All right, Race to Canis, well done. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gabzy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Race to Canis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Sup everyone, Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said. Done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.